Good morning. We're so glad to be with you this morning. It's always a pleasure to be at Bethel Chapel. Many fond memories of my time there, and we're always glad when we come back. And this is different, but it's good to be with you again. So this morning, if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And while you're doing that, I'll give you some homework for next week. The messages I'm giving this morning and then next week are going to be two separate messages, not continuing the same theme, but I'm going to give you a preview or homework for next week. So next week, I'm going to be talking about deacons. So your homework is to read and study up on what the Bible has to say about deacons, which you probably haven't heard many messages about, which is part of the reason why I'm going to talk about it. So next week will be deacons, but this week we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 6 and talking about worry. This passage, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, was my favorite Bible passage growing up. And I'm not sure exactly why it is that I was drawn to it, but this was just my absolute favorite Bible passage when I was growing up. And I realized earlier this year I never preached a message on that portion. So I thought, I better do that. So I had prepared a message on that earlier this year, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. And again, this is a passage that deals with a topic we can all relate to, something that affects everyone, the subject of worry. So we'll read in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And we'll end the reading there, and surely the Lord will bless his word. The phrase "do not worry" occurs seven times in the New Testament, and every time it's spoken by the Lord Jesus. It's here in this passage, and then the parallel passage of this in the Gospel of Luke, and then also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in reference to speaking before the authorities. You may remember or be familiar with that, where the Lord Jesus told his disciples, you know, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to get arrested, But do not worry about what you're going to say when you're brought before the authorities. So that's the other passage where we're told, or where the Lord Jesus told his disciples not to worry. And this word worry comes from a root meaning divided attention. And some other translations have it translated as do not be anxious. And there's also, there's these related words, worry, anxious. The noun form is often translated as cares. It's used in the parable of the soils in Matthew 13 about the thorns that choke out the good seed, the cares of this world, the worries of this world. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your worries upon him, for he cares for you. But right from the outset here, I want us to consider who is saying this. The passage begins, therefore I say to you. Well, who's talking? Who's the I? It's not just me. I mean, I'm talking to you here this morning, but this isn't just words from me or even words from an apostle. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who says, do not worry. This word comes from the lips of God himself. Do not worry. And we can be assured that he is speaking these words to us. This is a message for you this morning. And the words were originally spoken to his disciples. They are with him. But it was certainly not meant to be a personal or private word only for them. You know, there's some passages in the Bible that were specifically related to certain people. You know, God told Abraham, you know, go and take your son to Mount Moriah and to offer him as a sacrifice. Well, that was specific for Abraham. We're not all supposed to do that. But this is a message for everybody. It wasn't unique or particular to the specific people, to his disciples that he originally spoke it to. This is a message for us. This is a message for all who would be his disciples, for all who would follow him. And notice as well that this word is repeated three times in this passage. In verse 25, do not worry. In verse 31, do not worry. And again in verse 34, do not worry. So if there were any doubt or confusion about the matter, we need to put that aside. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us, says to you, this morning, do not worry. But before we move on, there's one more thing we must notice. Observe how verse 25 begins. It says, therefore. So because of this, or for this reason. Well, why? What reason? What's the therefore? We'll look back at verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I mentioned before that the word for worry means divided attention. And here the verse right before our passage talks about divided loyalties. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and riches. If you have divided attention, if you're worrying about things, you also have divided loyalties. And it's impossible for that to work out. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and riches at the same time. It's either one or the other. And that's true just generally. It's that it's impossible to serve God if you have divided attention. It's impossible to serve God while you're worrying. And that's That's part of the reason why we're told not to worry, because the Lord wants us to live fruitful and abundant lives, and we can't do that if we're worrying. But then if you look back even a couple more verses at verse 22, we read there, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." And the word translated good or healthy, in the Old King James, it's single, if your eye is single. And the word actually means whole, without any complication or confusion. And again, this is related to the concept of worry, of division, divided attention. If our, we need to be whole and well, single. The Bible talks in a number of places about being single-minded. And it's true that you can't be, I mean, physically speaking, if you're worried, you won't be physically healthy. Worry actually causes physiological problems in your body. And there's a physical manifestation of that, but it obviously affects us spiritually as well, in our soul and spirit. So this is so important that you can't serve God, you can't be healthy physically or spiritually if you have worry. And so again, this is an important issue for us to consider. But then look even before that, in verses 19 through 21. And as I'm saying this, you know, it's so important that we read the Bible in context, because, you know, a lot of times you just read a verse here or there, but it all goes together. And we need to consider the immediate context of what we're reading, what came right before it and what comes right after it. And also, as we read the Bible, it's important to look at what we read in relation to other passages, but especially in the immediate context, there's so much that we can learn and discover if we would just actually read it and see what it says, instead of just picking a verse and taking it out of context. And so all of this earlier in the chapter has been building up to this about do not worry. So in verse 19 through 21, we read, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And again, it's pretty obvious how this is related to the topic of worry. You know, if our attention is on treasures in heaven, then the concerns of this world won't be so distracting to us. Our attention needs to be focused, not divided. We shouldn't be worried about earthly treasures, but focused on laying up treasures in heaven. And again, all these things tie together about not serving God and riches, laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven, and then our actual passage about do not worry. It's all tied together. And there are some other connections earlier in the chapter, which we'll get to later. But for now, let's start moving on, going through the passage here, beginning at verse 25. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So right at the start, we're told, do not worry. And what is it that we're not to worry about? Your life. Do not worry about your life. Okay. that would seem to cover everything, right? Don't worry about your life. But think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ says to not worry about your most basic physical needs. Food, water, clothing, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. You know, certainly our lives are about more than that. You know, our lives are more than just eating and drinking. But we do need to eat and drink to survive. And if we shouldn't worry about those things, our most basic needs, then why should we worry about anything else? Right? Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink. The most basic things we need for survival, he tells us not to worry about. So why worry about anything else? You know, you want an example, an illustration? Well, that's what he gives next. Look at as the passage continues. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Have you ever seen a worried bird? Well, you know, maybe a turkey before Thanksgiving. I wasn't sure if I should do this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little joke here. This is a special bonus. This is aside from the message, but hopefully you'll appreciate it. It somehow came up in our conversation earlier in the week. I was reminded of it. There was a man who bought a used parrot, you know, a secondhand parrot. And it was amazing. It could talk, say all kinds of things. But what he didn't realize was that it knew a lot of swear and curse words. And he was very distraught by this. And he told the bird, like, stop that. Stop doing that. Stop swearing. But this parrot kept on with it. So he took him and he put him in the freezer, and he heard some, you know, he heard some kind of rustling around in there for a minute or two, but then things settled down, and he figured, okay, I'll see what's going on. So he opened up the freezer, and there's the parrot. The parrot's still alive. He'd only been in there a couple minutes, and he says, Oh, good chap. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please accept my humble apologies. I'm so sorry for what I said. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Just please let me out of here. I'm so sorry. And if you don't mind me asking, what did the turkey do? Okay, either you got it or you didn't, but That's my bird joke for today. So, but, you know, birds don't worry, right? Not even the Thanksgiving turkey. It really wasn't worried. It was just happily living its life. But it didn't have a care in the world. You know, and we look around. I don't know what it's like at your place, but at our place here in our backyard, our front yard, We're constantly seeing birds. They're all over the place. I mean, we encourage them a bit because we put food out, but there's always birds around, sparrows and cardinals and blue jays and chickadees, finches. There's all kinds of stuff. But they didn't plant anything. They didn't harvest anything. They didn't store up food. But God provides for them. He takes care of them. And these are just birds. He'll certainly provide for us. We're his special creation, made in his own image. So why would we worry about that? If God takes care of the birds, won't he surely take care of us? And then in verse 27, The Lord Jesus asks the question. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Will worrying help you grow taller, be bigger and stronger? You know, strictly from a pragmatic viewpoint, what's the point of worrying? Does it help? Do you feel better when you worry? Does it alleviate the problem about which you're concerned? Well, no, it doesn't help at all. Even aside from any other considerations, we shouldn't worry because it doesn't help at all. It's not beneficial. And that kind of brings up another point. Christians know they're not supposed to worry, so we've developed a whole vocabulary to kind of get around that, right? People say, oh, I'm not worried. I'm just nervous about it. Or I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. You know, and we use these words. And as I was typing this out, my word processor suggested all these synonyms for worried, you know, nervous, anxious, concerned. And I think sometimes we kind of substitute words to disguise the fact that we are worried about things. That, you know, we say we're nervous or anxious or concerned. But again, is your concern helping the situation, or are you just getting yourself, you know, worked up and being distracted by your thoughts about something? Let me just say this. The Apostle Paul gives a little different point of view, and I think it's important to consider that, because he actually wrote that we should worry, but it's important to note what he said we should worry about. And it's a very well-known passage I'm sure you're all familiar with. In Philippians chapter 4, he wrote, worry about... Do you know what he says we should worry about? Worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. You know, we should be concerned about many things, but we shouldn't worry about them. And what is it we should do instead? This is Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, be anxious for nothing, and depending what translation you have, he may have a different word there, but be anxious is the same word as worry. Be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, don't lie awake in bed worrying about things. Talk to God about it. Commit the situation to him. You know, don't worry, don't be anxious, but cast all your cares upon the Lord. You know, and think about things instead of having your attention divided, instead of being worried. He says what you should think about. Think about things that are true and noble and just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. And when you do that, your heart and mind will be guarded by his peace. So, back to Matthew, the passage goes on to talk about clothes. What about clothes? Should we worry about them? We all need, you know, we need to eat, we need to drink, we need clothes to wear. But should we be worried about what we're going to wear? No, he says. He says to consider, that is to learn by careful examination, you know, to really stop and check it out and think about it. Learn, consider the lilies of the field. Okay, so he's not talking here about some cultivated flowers in someone's garden. You know, he's not talking about something that, you know, that you put in place and, you know, spend a lot of time working and weeding. He's just talking, these are just wildflowers out in the field. And they don't slave away. But, as he says, they're more beautiful than the garments of a king. And if God makes the wildflowers like that and takes care of them, won't he surely take care of you? I'd encourage you, the next time you're out somewhere where there's wildflowers, take some time to really look at them, to really examine them, and consider God's loving care. So don't worry. Don't keep asking these questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Don't keep asking these questions that aren't productive, but just breed anxiety. He says that the Gentiles, the nations, this is now verse 31 and 32, the nations around, they search for these things. That's what they spend all their time. I mean, the world around us, that's what it's all about. People are concerned about their life, where their next meal is coming from, what they're going to wear. They're all caught up in these things because they have nothing else to live for. And it says your loving Heavenly Father knows your needs. And this is something that the Lord Jesus Christ said earlier in the chapter. If you look back just at verse 8, now this was in reference, the chapter began with, talking about doing good deeds and charity. And then there's a whole section on prayer. And in that section on prayer, the Lord Jesus says, Matthew 6 and verse 8, "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." And again, that's repeated here at the end of verse 32. God knows that we need these things. He made us. Of course he knows we need food and drink and clothes. But we shouldn't worry about them. He's a loving Heavenly Father who takes care of the birds, takes care of the flowers. He'll surely take care of us. But if we're not going to worry, if we're not going to spend our time with our attention focused on these things, on seeking after food and drinking clothes, what should we do? Well, he tells us here. Another famous verse, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And you see at the start of the verse, there's a but, because we're not supposed to be worried about all these other things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you concern yourself with following God, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, then these other things will all work out. Having food and clothes, it's not things that you have to worry about, though. And I'd like to just go back now to chapter 5 to mention some things too. In chapter 5, the Lord Jesus presents a number of contrasting statements. And he says, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in a number of cases, "You have heard that it was said," and he kind of quotes one of their laws or traditions. And then he says, "But I say to you," and he does that a number of times throughout chapter 5. And then chapter 5 ends with him making the following statement in Matthew 5:48. He says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we make the kingdom of God and his righteousness our top priority, everything else will fall into place. And again, this is all tied together. You can see how this passage, this portion about do not worry, is actually related to everything else that he was just talking about before this. That we are supposed to be like God, our Father in heaven. And part of that is that we don't worry. Part of that is that our attention is focused, that we don't have divided loyalties, that we're not laying up treasures on earth, but laying up treasures in heaven. That we're single-minded, that we're, again, that we're focused. We're not trying to serve God and riches. So all these things are tied together. And I think as well of another verse from Paul in Romans 8:32 that helps put it in perspective. He writes there, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Think about it. The Lord, God the Father gave his own son to come into this world to die as a sacrifice for our own sins. For our sins, he didn't spare him, but gave him. So won't he take care of everything else? Well, of course he will. And he's promised that to us, that he will give us all things. And then the chapter ends in verse 34, Matthew 6:34, with the third repetition of do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me ask you this. Has worrying about the future ever helped? Has it ever been beneficial to worry? Maybe you're waiting for the results of some medical test. Or maybe you got some bad results and you're waiting for treatment. Or maybe there's a difficult situation at home or work or school. Maybe you've got a big decision to make, or you're going through a transition in life. Maybe you have concerns about your children's future or your parents, and you don't know what the future holds. That's true. You don't know what the future holds. So don't worry about it. It doesn't help. And you may end up wasting time and energy troubled by things that never happen. People can, you know, you can imagine things in your mind to worry about that may never even happen, and you just wasted time and energy thinking about something with no purpose. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Today, every day has enough trouble of its own, so don't add tomorrow's trouble to it. So instead, entrust the future to the one who does know. The Lord knows the future, and so we should cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. So in view of everything we've talked about, don't worry about tomorrow. That doesn't mean you can't think about it. It doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't make plans for tomorrow, but don't worry about the future. Today has enough trouble of its own. You don't need to add tomorrow's troubles to today. And just to finish off, I'd like to read some lyrics from a song that relate to that. The song goes, "The flowers and birds, they don't worry a bit. And a good God takes good care of them. And he loves you and me so much more than this. So don't worry. Don't worry. Don't borrow any trouble from tomorrow. you'll only double your sorrow. You'll only worry your mind. Don't borrow any trouble from tomorrow. If you're going to learn to follow, you've got to take it one day at a time. Don't worry. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this word from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself as he tells us, do not worry. And we pray that you would help us all to take this to heart. There's much around us that's troubling, that's concerning as we consider situations with the pandemic. We consider political situations. We consider natural disasters and war and so much trouble in the world. And yet, in all of these things, there's no reason for us to worry. For one thing, it doesn't help. It's not productive. But also, it distracts us from what we should be thinking about, from what we should be doing. So help us to focus on you, on your kingdom and your righteousness, and to have our minds on laying up treasures in heaven, not be distracted by the things of this world. So please help us, we pray. I do pray for each one here. We've all got different situations and circumstances, and there certainly are many things we could worry about, but you would tell us, do not worry. Worry about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to make our requests to you, and you will give us your peace. So please help us. We pray for each one here this morning, and we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.